Well, Mark came by today. He retired last week, and he was done his last car at M&W. And the crazy thing is, he came by today, we're just chatting, and all of a sudden we weren't chatting anymore. He fell down like a brick falling off a roof and hit the ground. He was standing over his bike. We removed the bike from underneath of him, got his helmet off. Thank God he was wearing his bike helmet, or he'd have major concussion or worse. Mm-hmm. And ended up with no pulse, and we opened an airway, few quick breaths, and started chest compressions. Called 911 right away. We did chest compressions for about 8 to 9 minutes before Tualatin Fire and Rescue showed up, who are just the ultimate best, along with Tigard PD.
Absolutely.
And we thought he was gone. Wow. They thought he was gone. And 17, 20 minutes later, he took a breath and opened his eyes and said, "Where's my bike?" And it came down to just, I think it was quick action and the immediate attention that I haven't used it in years. And I was certified before. I was volunteer fire before. Okay. I was a rescue swimmer, all that kind of stuff. But it just came back instantaneously, assessed it, compressions. Mark's sitting up in the hospital today alive.
Wow.
Because of that just instant chance, instant choice. I don't know how to qualify it or how to quantify it, but it was there and to help out. So if you don't know CPR, take a class, get CPR, because you never know if it's your best friend, your mom, your dad, your son that may need it, and you may be that instant lifeline that's going to save their life.
Hmm. Good. How much training? Well, you said you were a volunteer firefighter, which is more training than most.
Yeah.
I wonder how deep that was back in your brain, and how far back you had to go to kick it into gear.
I was a volunteer firefighter up in Sashine Lake, up in the Idaho Panhandle, back in the late 80s, early 90s.
Okay.
And then back in the Navy, I did a lot of rescue swimming, all that kind of stuff. So that was there. Back in my youth, I was a lifeguard. So that was there. It's been part of my life. But just recently, as a scuba diver, I needed to get CPR certified for a rescue diver. So I went through the whole class again, and things have changed. It's no longer 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 breath.
Okay.
It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Check for breath. That type of deal, because if you open an airway, if you have somebody holding the head and open an airway, as you're giving compressions, you're compressing the lungs. The lungs are automatically drawing air in and out. And today's the first time I saw that in real life.
Huh.
Because we're doing compressions and he's like,
okay.
As we're doing compressions.
With no pulse. Technically.
With no pulse. Dead.
Deceased.
Yeah.
And but you're feeling and seeing this reaction as you push.
As you push. And keeping his brain alive, keeping the blood moving, which is carrying the oxygen to the vital organs until the EMTs show up with all their special gears.
Yeah.
And boom, he's alive today. He's alive right now. And this was 6 hours ago.
Have you spoken to his family?
They called us, and the doctor said that he shouldn't be here, that it was a massive coronary event. And so now he's in his room. He's waiting for a heart test tomorrow. And then they'll see what kind of surgery or what's needed from there. But, yeah, no, it's a great God-sized day on that one.
I don't know what to say. Your other friend was there. What was his reaction?
Matt did not have the training you do? Matt came running up from the other shop, and Matt has no idea. Matt grabbed the bike and got it out from underneath of him, started giving him breaths. I started CPR, started going with that. All of a sudden, 911 was on the phone. I told Matt to take over on the CP on the chest compressions. I opened Mark's airway, and Mark was just laying there. He's going gray, and it was horrific. And then an officer from Tiger PD, Brian, shows up and takes over from Mark, and he's doing compressions. Then Tiger, Tualatin Valley Fire, they rolled in, and they rolled in, and I've never seen a team work so tight, so qualified, no questions, no nothing. Everybody knew exactly what they were doing. But it comes down to people like you and me on the street that are the first ones there to call 911, to get the people there that know what they're doing. And if we have the basic skills, you can keep somebody alive for 8 to 10 minutes until the pros arrive.
But you knew where to put your hands. You knew how to position your, so to not do injury to your buddy Mark, but to
so
do it correctly.
Simple. It's so simple. It's four fingers up, place your palm, lock your elbows. And the first compression is really weird because you feel the ribs give way.
Huh.
And you've got to get onto the heart muscle instead of just, I don't want to hurt him. No, it's boom. Wow. And you're down, and
he kept his brain alive, and now your buddy's still there. A, he's alive. B, he doesn't have brain damage or
brain
something.
Brain damage. Oh, he wants to know where his bicycle is.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Brian, congratulations.
Yeah, it's a crazy story, and it's
and your point is
take a class, spend the 6 hours, spend the 8 hours, and go in and get certified. Because, like I said, if it's a kid in the pool or you're out at Hag Lake and somebody goes in the water and you pull them out, you're there. You know you can respond, and you've got the training to do it to save that life. And it's just, it's huge. It's huge. This could be a way different story today than it is right now.